welcome to Pretty Scary. We are recording. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Pretty Scary Boo.
The he clock's running.
Just didn't have the clock going.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty
Boo.
Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary.
Hey, it's pretty scary, you see?
Yeah, it's pretty scary, boo. Everyone, line up. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, straight from downtown Los Angeles, California, your three favorite hosts now engaging in Pretty Scary Boo. They're all dead now.
Killed them all.
Killed them all.
But their ghosts are going to navigate this episode.
Yes.
Because that's the first thing I would do as an undead person is host a podcast. God.
So, how's everyone doing? Since we recorded last week.
Paris was
been
great.
Okay.
Oh, really? You
Paris
went to Paris?
Was great.
Fun.
Yeah. Food was good.
I liked your tweets about it and all your Instagram posts.
Took a perfume making class.
Oh, how was that?
It was lovely. It was a private perfume making class.
Did you put lavender in it? Because they have lavender fields when I stayed.
I thought about it.
France.
But then I felt a little obvious, so I went with hibiscus.
Sure, sure.
Because everybody knows how hibiscus smells.
So, I know you guys had a really good show at the Alex Theater.
We did.
The night that you guys had a really good show, I had a really shitty show.
I got off stage, off stage from the Unpop show, and I checked my phone, and Carrie's like, I bombed. And I just had a really great set, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Sucks
to but then she
you.
Told me where she was. I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Where were you?
Liquid Zoo.
I've still never been there.
Well, it's impossible randomly. To not bomb at the Liquid
Well,
Zoo.
No, I was exceptionally bad. Okay, so here's the thing. It is a bar show, and they start at 10 o'clock, and I didn't realize they started so late, and I had to leave the next day for Arizona, and I was just like, fuck, like I'm so tired, but I was like, it was so nice. So it's ran by Adam Feuerberg and Ryan Talma, who are awesome.
Yeah.
They're both great.
Yeah, and Adam asked me to be on, and I was like, I can't not go. Like, this, you know what? This kind of room will make it so that like I'm more comfortable with the silence. Like, because I know I'm not going to get a lot of laughs.
I've made that mistake before.
Well, that's what I thought. Because usually I freak out when there's, you know, silence. So I'm like, Carrie, this will be a great training exercise. Like, it was like my weird comedian training days.
Never,
I don't know.
You never do that for yourself.
What?
You never coach yourself like that. You usually,
yeah.
You're usually like, I'm not doing this.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to go and I'm just going to stay in the silence.
Good good on you, champ.
So I walk in there and they're like, all right, well, we're going to start. Who wants to be first? And everyone's like, I don't care. And I was like, I'll go first.
Oh.
So I hadn't even had any liquid courage yet.
Uh-oh.
So I go up there and, first Adam does his set. And, you know, he does like 7 minutes to warm up the crowd of four people plus comedians. And I mean, it's like, whatever. And then, you know, at one point he's like, oh, yeah, like silence. That's a great way to bring up, the first comedian.
Yeah.
And he's like, here she is, you know, Kari Martin. And I go,
Kari.
Why do people call you Kari?
I think it's a thing, the way my name
is
spelled.
It's not a real name.
No.
That is the third male comic, should I say. Female comics, I've never heard fuck
just
that up.
Just ask. Ask how to say the name if you're not sure.
But you're going
to
confidently pronounce Kari? I've never met a Kari.
Yeah, we had Tamer Katan on the Glendale show, and I asked like three different people how to pronounce his name.
Did you ask him?
No, but I still got it wrong when I went
you did?
Up.
I didn't
yeah,
know
I, st- I said Tamer.
Whatever. He's fine.
He's great, though.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's great. So anyway, so I go up, and I was like, oh, it's Kari Martin, but that's okay. And everyone like laughed, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a good crowd. And then I start, and can I say that was the biggest laugh that I got? So after about 6 minutes of doing just my regular stuff that I've been doing for 5 years, because I was like, I'm not, because I went out and wrote that day and I was like, I'm not doing new stuff. Like, I'm tired.
That feeling where you abandon all of that.
Yeah,
plan,
I just want to
like,
get through
nope,
it.
I'm
so
tell.
I was like, how many minutes do we have? They're like 10. I'm like, God, that seems like a long fucking time.
But when they say 10, it goes 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yes, and
that's
it resonates.
Horrible.
So I was like, well, you line me at 4. I mean, I'm fine. Like, I'll get off in 6. So
Carrie's the only comedian in Los Angeles that asks for less time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, if it's going well, I'll just run it. But like, I assume that I'm going to assume on the side of caution that it's not.
Yeah.
That way I can
I agree with that.
Off.
Yeah.
I'm also the one who will not stand up there. And if I'm bombing, just keep going.
No, Carrie will leave.
Yes, I will leave. So that's exactly what happened. It was about 6 minutes in. And at one point, like I was getting a couple of like, ha,
Oh, God.
And then at one point, one girl walked out of the bar. And then another guy, after my last joke, said, "What the fuck is she talking about?" And at that point, I was like, "You know what, guys? That's my time.
You're done.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead." Because I was like, I could stand up here for 4 minutes, but why?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I might as well get off. I had already ordered a Chardonnay. It was waiting for, I knew it was there. Like, I need to go home. I need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And by home, I mean to the bar.
You need to go
home. Sure. My wine your home. Was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, here's your host, Adam. Not realizing Adam was outside.
Oh, God.
So
I stood there and I was like, oh, where's Adam? And so I'm standing up there with my sorority smile. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll go get him. And I was like, okay.
Thanks.
So I was like, does anybody know who the next comic is? I'll just host. I'll just bring up the next comic.
Oh.
So someone's like, Ryan. So I'm like, okay, great. Well, hey, your next comic, you've seen him all over LA. Please get it up for the amazing Ryan. He was outside too. It literally was like a nightmare, but I had all my clothes on. And finally they came in and Adam's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Like, oh my God, I'm a bad host. I'm like, it's okay. Just like, get me off. Here he is, Adam Fjordberg. So he comes on. I go off. I sit in the crowd. And usually I would tuck my tail in between my legs and leave. Sure. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit here and enjoy the Chardonnay.
Uh-huh.
And then
you did earn it.
Yes. And then I bought two more, and then I bought two more for the host. So I ended up with a $40 fucking Liquid Zoo bar tab. But anyway,
that
including tip. Right? Where I was like, I'm just going to go in and out. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to drink tonight. But I was like, so frazzled.
For anybody like listening at home, that's like going to like a minor league baseball game and walking away with a $50 snack fee.
Yeah.
Tab.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like angry with yourself.
Yeah. The wine there is like literally $4. Like, yeah.
So
it's pretty cheap. And for LA, that's like nothing.
There was a guy, I don't know if it was supposed to be a girl or not. His name was Wesley, and he was wearing red corduroy short overalls, yellow tights. He had long hair. He comes up there, and first he starts screaming into the microphone, like, I guess a song.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, he brings up this big suitcase. And he puts it down.
Never good.
And he starts looking around at the crowd, making eye contact with everyone. So everyone's quiet. And then he unzips his suitcase. He opens it up, pulls out a smaller suitcase that looks identical. Looks around at the crowd, unzips that.
Is he expecting people to laugh at that?
I don't know.
Wow.
So he pulls out a third suitcase, looks identical, looks at the crowd, pulls out the fourth one, is pink radio, and he starts playing some music that's supposed to be like ghost, I guess, like wind chimes. And then he walks outside, but he's looking at the crowd as he's exiting.
Sure.
Goes outside, comes back in dressed as a ghost. He got more applause than I did.
Wow.
Oh,
fuck that show.
Well, no, not fuck the show. It is what it is.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
So then, So then I'm at the bar and I see, do you guys know Camilla Cleese?
No.
John Cleese's daughter.
Okay.
She does comedy. So she was up there and I was like, hey, like I met you before at Jacqueline Marfuji's birthday. And she goes, oh my God, you look familiar. And I was like, oh my God, I just died up there. And she goes, oh yeah, I came in for that. And that was
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it was true. And then she goes, you know what? If I can make you feel any better, she goes, I went to the Comedy Magic Show in Hermosa. She goes, I was at that room, which is a super hard room to get like.
Yeah.
To perform in, like it's the cream of the crop. She goes, I killed there. And then on the way home, I was feeling so confident. I'm like, I'm going to stop by the lab, like an open mic at the Hollywood Improv. She goes, I did the exact same set. And there were crickets.
Yeah.
She goes, you just never know. And it's true. And it made me feel better. That's it.
All right.
I've been there. I've been there. I mean, bombing is...
it's like an art form.
Yeah. It sucks. It's never just, fun.
I'll be honest, though. I was kind of like proud of myself because typically I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, typically it's self-induced. Like, I bomb because it's like I'm too drunk or I forget what I was going to say. Like, this time it was like, no, I knew my material. They just didn't think it was funny. And they, like, physically hated me.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was like, just pull yourself off. It is what it is. But I was like, I'm not going to leave here because, like, I didn't, like, it's you. And it's crazy because there were comedians in the audience. One of them, do you know Nicole Buchanan?
Not really, no, I don't think so.
She did not seem friendly at all. You know, she didn't clap for anybody. She was she kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, like a young hipster comic. Not hipster, just Olivia Grace.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, so it, like I don't know, maybe self-loathing, whatever. She got up there and did great. And then when she got down, like, she went right back to her phone and right back to ignoring everybody. And I was kind of, and I don't think it was because she thought she was too good. I almost wondered if there's like bar comics and then there's, you know what I mean? Like there's different yeah. people who do well in different settings.
Well, I think like that's always the case. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to find your crowd.
Well, this is therapeutic, so I appreciate it.
Good. I'm just going to leave all that in. Because normally, I've been doing, like, in the outtakes, I'll put, like, really long stories in the outtakes, but...
Why would you do...
Yeah, let's just... We'll just open.
Leave it in.
We'll leave it all in.
It's good.
It's all good, man.
That's what they're here for. They like us.
That's what people are here for.
From what I understand.
What are we talking about today? Uh-oh.
Lottery stuff.
What's wrong, Carrie?
Yeah, what happened? You're leading this episode, too. It's
two,
all on
two
you.
Two for two. I don't think you gave a shit, Adam.
Oh, come on.
2 weeks in a row separated.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm just...
Thank you, Caitlin.
No problem.
Wow.
Okay, so this is Curse of
the
Lottery.
Carrie just turned her back on
no,
me.
No, I'm trying to read,
she can't
Adam.
Read any other way.
I don't have a broken neck like you do, so I actually have to...
My neck's still broken after a week.
I know. I hope it's okay.
Well, patience is a virtue.
Hopefully you'll ice it soon.
Carrie, what are we talking about today?
Curse of the Lottery.
Hey, Carrie. Do you want to have this to scroll through the notes?
Yeah. Why not?
The
wireless keyboard.
The thing, that pad on the right is just like a trackpad, and you can, I think with two fingers,
can
you
I draw
scroll.
A dick on this?
Yeah, of course you can draw a dick on it.
Okay, so then I would just like... Okay, Curse of the Lottery, the first one. Caitlin, do you want to read it?
Yeah.
Well, we should explain what we're talking about. We're talking about lottery winners.
Oh my God, I already fucked this up.
We're talking about cursed lottery winners, because there's that woman who just won like $700 million and God love her, quit her job immediately.
I would. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Really? I think I would be like, who cares? Like, if you need 2 weeks... Okay.
I mean,
depending on how shitty your job is,
it would be.
She was like in medical billing or something.
Yeah,
it was
something,
like
some garbage.
She was in the kind of job that would propel you to buy a lotto ticket.
And you know that when she bought that ticket, she told her coworkers, like, if I win, you won't see me on Monday. And then she really won and did not show up
not
on Monday.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. We had an office pool.
So did we. And we made a contract because we're like, we'll be those coworkers who will sue each other.
I did that too.
I did a contract.
So we have a girl starting. She's kind of my replacement while I'm gone. And we're bringing her. She's 24. She's very eager. It's very hard to be around. But she's very nice. She's nice. She's just.
I got talked to about inappropriate dress when I was 24.
I had to talk to her about inappropriate dress
because
she came to work straight up dressed like in like a cocktail dress. And I was like, okay.
sex sells.
It's so weird to finally realize that you're in that position now.
That was a weird time for you to hit the air horn, by the way, Caitlin.
I know.
But go on.
I'm a weird person, I guess, you know. I had to actually have this conversation with her. And so... I was like, hi, okay, so you're doing great. I do not want to make you feel as though I am coming after you in any way. Because when this happened to me, it was a horrible experience. So I told her about how I had been told something like this. And she's like, what are you getting at? I'm like, your skirt is just way too short. Like,
I got taken to a CPK.
Whoa.
Well, and then she talked to me about my dress.
That's a lot. That's too much.
Did she buy you food?
Yes.
Oh, that's dope. Because how crazy would it be if she just took you to a CPK like walked you right into the lobby and was like, hey, your dress is too short. Let's get the fuck out of here.
And then walked me around like a show pony.
Just picked up curbside delivery. No, my experience was I was working in a Catholic nonprofit for my first job and a nun yelled at me. So, I mean, that's pretty dark. This girl got me, which I felt like was the nicer way to do it. And she took it really well. But anyway... Her first week, the whole office is going in on a lotto pool, and there are 47 of us in on this pool, and this girl had no idea what she was doing, and I was making her, like, Google contracts and stuff, because I was like, welcome to office life, especially working here. You're going to be doing all sorts of weird shit. She's like, I don't know what to do. I said, do I look like I know what to do? And she's like, kind of. I'm like, it's a lie. You have to make all of this up as you go.
I agree with that. You're very good at making... what you don't know seem plausible.
It's all plausible. It's not that hard. Knowing that the internet exists, just calm down. It's out there.
Yeah.
The other day I Googled something at work because nobody knew the answer to something. I told them the answer. They all looked at me and said, how did you do that?
Yeah. Google
is...
I
Googled it.
Google is life's textbook.
Just look it up.
Just look that shit up.
All right, Caitlin.
Anyway, so in this case, we were talking about lotto, cursed lotto people.
Yes.
Yep. People who won the lottery and it did not improve their lives.
Sometimes you eat the bar and other times the bar eats you.
Yep.
The bar eats all of these people.
Always.
Yeah, always. So
there was an E! True Hollywood story about this years ago.
Yeah.
Which would be fascinating if you guys go onto YouTube. It's actually very interesting. But there's some updated cases since then.
Okay, so do you want me to just read the... All right, cool. So an unemployed ex-con turned $27 million Powerball winner. Okay, so this guy wins $27 million. Died in a community hospice center, reportedly after losing his mansions, cars, Learjet, and moving into a storage shed.
$27 million feels like it's approximately enough to buy a Learjet.
Just the jet.
Like, just the jet.
But that's like what Eileen Wuornos does also. Like, when she gets a $50,000 inheritance at some point in her life, like one of her family members dies, she gets $46,000 of it she spends on a car that she crashes 2 weeks later. People just do this shit.
When you don't have money, you don't know how to handle it. I am this person.
Is that why we're doing this episode?
Yes.
So basically his whole life was thrust into the public after going from rags to riches overnight. He won this in 2001 and, oh man, died at 58 and nobody knows why.
What's his name?
David Edwards.
He was a drug addict who spent a third of his life behind bars for theft.
Can you imagine because first of all, if you're a drug addict, and you win the lotto, that's the biggest fuck you ever, right? Because on some level, you're feeling like you've proved everybody wrong. Like, you told me it wouldn't work out. I won the lotto. And then you buy the Learjet and everyone's like, yeah, we kind of figured you'd fuck anything up and this is what's happening. Also, I feel like it's just strange. I feel like it's weird to win the lotto and not buy property right away. Literally, that would be the first thing I would do.
Well, I think they talk about he gets, I want to say a money manager, but he does have like a money manager of sorts. He was like, no, this guy fucked everything up. Keep reading, Caitlin. It's all in there.
Okay. So after living unemployed in his late parents' home and borrowing money to keep his water running, the Daily Independent reported that the 46-year-old luck all changed when a few spare dollars afforded him a $7 ticket for Powerball. Edwards publicly described the winning numbers at the time as a gift from God. I didn't want to accept this money by saying, I'm going to get a bunch of mansions and I'm going to go buy cars and I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that, he said while accepting his check. I would like to accept it with humility. I want this money to last for me, for my future wife. He's
bad
optimistic.
Sign. Bad sign right there that he's got a future wife right
for
after winning
my daughter,
the lottery.
And for future generations. He almost immediately went on the next week to share his plans to buy a Bentley while his 27-year-old fiance, Shauna Maddox.
Oh, no.
With a U. Okay. M-A-D-D-U-X. Said that she wanted a Ferrari.
Yep.
Sure.
Well, she's 27.
Oh, hold on.
Well, that's how you keep the money. You make good investments like a Ferrari.
That's true. That's true. When he returned to Kentucky, he went on to buy
Hold on. At the top.
Oh, sorry.
Take it from the top, Caitlin.
That's fine. Taking it from the top.
Nope. Stop.
Oh.
It was fine.
Okay. All is well.
Me and Adam are having a little bit of power control.
Yeah. I'm
trying.
Exactly what my childhood
it's
was
fine.
Like. No, it's fine.
Everything I'm just going to sit back.
Thank you.
It's okay. If I had a dollar for every time my dad yelled from the top, I'd be a millionaire on my own. As time would tell, however, Edward's so-called blessing would appear to be more like a curse. Boom, boom, boom. James Gibbs, his former Morgan Stanley broker and financial advisor, recalled negotiating a $200,000 loan for Edwards to celebrate his win in Las Vegas. So, I just want to say this. You win $72 million and then immediately take out a loan to throw a party to celebrate winning $72 million?
I feel like $200,000 is a lot. Like, I might do 20.
I wonder if he just didn't have the money
right away
and was like, but I still...
Oh, so a loan.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Yeah, but I want a party right now. So, so right out of the gate, he's not spending this money wisely.
Okay. Speaking to the New Times, he revealed that just 6 days into his Nevada trip, Edwards called to say that he was broke and needed more money.
Jeez.
So he called his how do you spend $200,000 in 6 days?
In six days.
It's got to be drugs and hookers.
If I spent $1,000 in 6 days.
But I'm just trying to think of the rate that he was moving at. I'm talking about like how fast he was physically moving in the 6 days to spend that much money.
Well, like, what kind of sweets was he getting? Was he getting, like, Magnum bottles of champagne?
But how much?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't understand. I can't fathom. I
would like to see, yeah.
I spent $100 on jeans a couple months ago and felt like an asshole.
$200?
$100. Oh, that felt like a lot to me.
I live check to check, but that's not a big deal.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Anyway... When he returned to Kentucky, he went on to buy a $1.6 million mansion in Ashland, Kentucky.
Well, first, he said 6 days into his trip, he called, Edwards called James Gibbs to say he was broke and needed more money.
I just said that.
Did you?
That was what the whole tangent that we were on was about. No,
nothing.
You're doing great.
I'm so worried about him overriding my power.
I'm out.
Okay. For a second, I was worried about me when you said that, because I thought I was dying just now. I'm like, is this a pregnancy thing? Am I
pregnancy brain?
When you're pregnant, can you flash forward in time and then be snapped back?
In a week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you haven't drank in a week, it's like your metabolism goes down.
That's true.
Your powers aren't what they were. You just really threw me. That's okay. Everything's fine. It's good.
Okay.
We're back on track. Yep,
you're doing great, Caitlin.
Come on, Caitlin. When he returns to Kentucky, let's
great. Get it so right. After 6 days of going through $200,000, where he possibly bought Magnum champagne bottles, remember that part of the conversation?
I do.
Okay, good. All right. Just checking. He returned to Kentucky and then went on to buy a $1.6 million mansion in Ashland, Kentucky. Guys, Kentucky money, too.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. $1.6 million in Kentucky. That's a big house.
6,000 square feet in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and a third $600,000 home nearby in Ashland, just nearby, the Ashland Daily Independent reported. So he goes
through...
Three homes. So now I'm beginning to see.
Yeah.
How in 6 days he went through $200,000, because in... Let's give him a week. He probably went through several million buying.
Like,
properties.
Why do you need three houses when you didn't even have one? Like,
I wonder if one of them he just never even made it to.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, unless it was an investment property, like, why buy it?
And this guy won $27 million. Like, after taxes, that's
it's
gonna
half,
be
half. So it's 13.5. Yeah. So I think it's 50%.
I thought it was 72. Is it 27? Okay.
27. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And he didn't think about the taxes. His financial advisor probably was like...
It sounds like he didn't even get a chance to advise.
Agreed.
But he got paid.
He talks the most shit, actually, is his financial advisor.
All right. His friends would do drugs.
This is nuts.
Yeah, wait. According to Gibbs, which, again, that's his financial advisor, Edwards would fly back and forth between Kentucky and Florida sometimes with a full entourage.
Yep.
His friends would do drugs, said Gibbs, and Edwards would easily supply them. He actually didn't know how many friends owed once he won them.
Overdosed.
OD'd.
Oh, okay. Got it. Sorry. I got confused.
Overdosed. Finger me.
Finger me.
He actually had, I don't know.
Basically what
now
what
I'm
this,
confused again.
Yeah, they wrote
what
this,
did I do?
This paragraph weird.
Got
basically.
It.
What he's saying is that this guy does not remember how many friends he has who overdosed on drugs, because since he won this money, he would just give people money to go buy drugs.
He killed them with money?
Yeah, he basically, he was just giving them money and they would go buy drugs to party and then he would pay for their funerals. And that's...
I would just sit there and cringe.
That's what he says. I would just sit there and cringe.
Yeah, and I think this is the person handling his money that's talking.
It is.
Yeah, it is. That December in 2001 in Malibu, he also married Maddox, a convicted mother.
Convicted mother of two.
Yeah, convicted of having children, whom he was already engaged to at the time of his win. And in his first 3 months, Gibbs said that he had blown through $3 million. In a year, Edwards estimated that he had spent around $12
million. Damn. That's a lot of money. Like, at some point, if you get $20 million... and just put it in a regular savings account.
You really could just be cool.
That gets 1% interest a year, you're fine. Like, I know. That's going to be like $2 million a year. You're great.
That's insane to me. To furnish his Florida garages and driveways, he allegedly purchased more than $1 million worth of vehicles, including a Lamborghini Diablo and a Chevrolet camper van.
That's a steep drop-off.
That seems weird, right?
Yeah, that's a steep drop-off in vehicle quality.
I always wanted to get one of these camper vans, and now that I have the means, you bet your ass I'm going to get one of them camper vans.
Is that
vans.
A Kentucky accent?
Sure is.
Are you drinking whiskey?
I am drinking moonshine that and I bourbon? Bought from a boutique dealer here in Kentucky with my winnings.
Are those the people who manufacture those little corn dogs?
Of course. I would only buy moonshine
like
from Totino's the corn dogs.
From West Virginia? It's like the little corn dogs?
Yeah, ma'am, I do understand what you're saying. To clarify, I do have an AA in customer service, and I'm very familiar with the Totino's family.
Yes.
And corn dog bites are, of course, the Totino's of the South.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Yes. So... Sure. I'm glad that we're sitting down to talk about this. Seriously, though, I mean, I do think the camper van is kind of the saddest part of the story.
Yeah, the camper van is...
I'm sure there's, like, a sad story attached bad to the times. Camper van. Well, it's just, like, maybe his, like, dad, who he knew for 15 minutes, had a camper van or something.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Or maybe his druggy friends were like, you gotta get a camper van.
I think he wanted to tour the U.S.
Well, couldn't he have used the Learjet that he also bought?
It's not the same.
I gotta say, once I bought that Learjet, it's not as convenient as you might think it might be. You gotta call them in advance. Yeah. You gotta make sure you can land, which I understand when you say that out loud, it's something that you have to think through. But
you
need a fucking pilot, which, by the way, those guys are fucking expensive.
You also need to have somewhere to go. Like, just winning the lottery doesn't...
No, man, that's where you're wrong.
Kentucky to Florida on loop.
I would just kind of float around up there in the sky listening to Freebird on loop, eating my corn dog bites.
Yes.
This is such a sad story because
really
this guy could have...
It gets worse.
He could have been just set up for life.
Yeah.
Have you met my fiance,
Like he
Maddox?
Had originally said that he wanted to be.
I think the proudest moment of my winnings was when I was able to buy all the limited edition Gibson Girl Barbies from my from my fiance Maddox.
All the American Girl dolls?
Oh, of course. In their glass cases.
Even more extravagant purchases included.
Even more extravagant purchases included. Found it. Another $1.9 million Learjet, three racehorses, and a limo company. Now we're getting into like fucking Anna Nicole Smith territory.
So now he can drive all his rich friends in Kentucky around.
Come on over. We're going to do one of those limo racing days.
Yeah.
For Pink's.
One put a tiger in the back of one of them. It's a surprise. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, for Pink's. Then things started to fall apart. Edwards filed for divorce from Shauna Maddox, who had gone in and out of drug rehab throughout this whole thing, before she was involuntarily committed to a substance abuse treatment program, and their marriage was once again rekindled after that.
Sure.
So, well, I mean, their on-again, off-again antics were well-known throughout Ashland, Kentucky prior, of course.
Totally. And Palm Beach.
However, Shauna's health did not rebound, guys. In 2004, she was arrested for stabbing Edwards with a crack pipe, and again in 2006 for drug possession.
Hmm.
You know what? This is a good time to bring up money.
Yeah.
Can't buy you happiness.
It really cannot.
No, I think it can. I think if you know how to spend it wisely.
Yeah. I think it can.
Right.
But I think those are the people that money avoids.
Yeah.
Just so it can be right about how money doesn't buy happiness.
I know I'm happier when I have money.
Yeah,
I'm
but
keep
it just a little
happier.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm definitely happier when I have money.
How
I'm
many Learjets do you have now, Adam?
4 or 5.
That say unpopular opinion on the side.
Yeah, but it's
I have one
of them
that
just
says unpopular
un-
and one says yeah.
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 Because you can write it off for business purposes.
Right. And then when they fly together in formation, it spells out the name of the network.
Can you imagine if one of your jets had Pretty Scary Boo on the side and you drove and you went by a plane and like another commercial plane?
I'm just gonna say this right now.
I can't imagine that.
If we ever have a Learjet, I am going to wave at other pilots in the sky.
Are you going to be that
Absolutely.
Person who's in the cockpit?
And then I'm also going to do the thing and like ask them to honk, but they're not going to honk because it's an airplane.
They'll think.
And we can't hear
it. Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I also have always wanted to do this thing where I want to tape a container of Dippin' Dots to the top of an airplane and see if it melts. Because it's supposed to be real cold up there.
Then it wouldn't melt. It would freeze.
I just want to see.
Listen, I'm not the scientist.
No, I'm not either. Clearly, I'm not. I want to tape Dippin' Dots to the top of an airplane and see what happens. It is scientific in nature, but anyway, I'm just curious. I think if just we have stupid money, I'm going to do some stupid shit.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Start at the top.
Thank you. In 2006, Edward's home was forced into foreclosure. I don't know which one, though. Sending the couple to their rented warehouse space for shelter.
That's what I was wondering, too. If they had three, wouldn't they go to one of the other ones?
Their final home,
when
probably.
Did he win initially? It was 2001?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean,
so
that's 5 years of... fun living.
Living it up.
If I died after that, I'd be fine.
I think that was how he probably felt in the end. The scene would later be described as littered with hypodermic needles and other unsanitary waste.
Ugh.
Okay, so this is how you burn all of this money. You're not even smart enough to buy it to get a trash can in the rented shelter that you're basically sneaking into throughout the night.
Yeah.
Right? I mean... Also, that's fucking, it's fucking hot in those things.
It's, yeah, it's,
that's
it's,
not good.
Yeah, it's hot in those things. It's, this is a sad story because
like
this
you
is,
wonder, yeah, like you had these nice houses, not just, I mean, you had opulence for years.
Yeah, couldn't you just end up in
here's
Torrance
a,
or
here's
something?
Here's a question. With this being a state-run thing, should there be some responsibility on the state when a person wins to maybe go in and say, look, we at least, because you'll get no problem in like red states, them passing, well, you got to talk to a girl before she has an abortion and let her know all the things that are going to happen if she has an abortion. Would it kill the state to send someone in and go, look, congratulations, you won all this money. Will you at least consider letting us tell you
I think this,
how to spend
had,
it and invest
but then
it.
He had a financial advisor,
right,
but
and
it doesn't matter.
And if it was a state-ran financial advisor, I feel like it could be very leading towards something where they're giving back to the state. So it's like...
Yeah.
But here's the ironic part. This guy gave back to several states no matter what. Because between his this Maddox situation, his many homes that were eventually foreclosed on, and even... this shelter that he, this weird shed that he ended up living in.
Dark.
Everybody made money off this guy but him. Anyway, in 2007, the failed lottery winner was hospitalized before being brought back to Kentucky with her, I can't, there's a
I don't,
thing.
I know. I don't know.
Oh, being back to being brought back to Kentucky by his ex-wife and her new husband.
Oh, wah,
that
wah,
sucks.
Wah.
Oh my God! Also, her turnaround's quick because in 2006 they were living in a shed, and then in 2007 she's remarried.
Yeah.
A year later, Edwards was described by an old friend as being quote on his deathbed. Shauna and Edwards divorced, and Shauna remarried before being arrested on a first-degree assault charge for allegedly stabbing her boyfriend in a motel. She's a stabby person.
Yeah.
The Lexington Herald Ledger reports. Shauna Edwards, who charged her...
Changed her name.
Sorry. Shauna Edwards, who changed her name to Shauna Johnson, was reported as facing up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Edward leaves behind a daughter who was 11 at the time of his winnings. His ex-wife... previously said that she wished he had set some money aside for her.
Oh, nah.
Gibbs said that he did put about $16 million away for him in bonds and annuities, but said Edwards liquidated them.
That's on him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they can set that up for him, but it's ultimately his decision if he wants to go, no, give me my money.
Like he did in Vegas. Give me that loan.
It's so funny because I was just talking to my husband about, you have a lot of these like State of the Union conversations when you're pregnant, because it's like, okay, where are we at? Like, how much money do we have? Are we going to be okay? And you're just fucked if you're not a good decision maker. Yeah. You're just fucked. And I don't know where you learn how to be a good decision maker, by the way. I don't necessarily know that that's hardwired or even taught. I think you're...
Well, I think you go away from something or you go towards something. So I have two parents, as everybody does, you know, who like made you biologically.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, my dad was definitely a spender. My mom was definitely the conscientious one with money. My brother is conscientious with money. I'm like my dad, and I'm a spender. I always have been. Like, I don't know what gene it is, but it's like, helps if there's at least one of you who's conscientious about budget. I mean, we talk about budget and I'm like, let's spend this on this. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
I've got the books.
It's true. But I mean, I just think it's weird. This guy even had a daughter, we find out in the end. So
yeah.
The fact that he wasn't even motivated to get his shit together. I mean, because like, seriously?
Like college is expensive, but not that expensive.
No, he would have been able to afford college.
He could have put her through college at the bare minimum at whatever school she wanted to go to and still had plenty of money.
She could
to
have
spend.
Stayed in school for the rest of her life if that's what she wanted. That's what she would have done.
Well, $13.5 million, again, after taxes.
But and even then, you're talking like, you know, like a good school is, even if it's $50,000 a year.
Put $200,000
aside. That's $200,000.
Well, I think the thing
that's what
also
he spent at his Vegas party.
Remember about lottery winners is, do you want it in a lump sum or do you want it extradited or extricated or whatever it is?
I think
over a number of years.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know, but
none of these say that, and I think that's important.
And every time when you bring that up, people are like, "Oh, I'd take the lump sum."
No,
maybe I would take that annuity.
I agree.
Why would you take a lump sum? You would. Yeah. You've never
because
handled that much money
you've
before.
You've seen the curse of the lottery winners, and you think you have like,
because that
it's like the same career as like an NFL player. You have maybe 3 years.
Like if
dead.
You've had
seriously,
if you've had no money your entire life,
right?
But you get that that first annuity check that's going to be like
that annuity boner, Caitlin,
a couple million, like. That's going to give you the same rush as getting a $56 million check.
If you've got...
But you're going to get that rush every year because you get that annuity check every year. That's dope.
It's nice knowing it's coming. It's
comforting. You're also giving yourself the opportunity to fuck up that first million.
Yeah.
And learn the hard way. Like, okay, oh, all right.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have bought that Learjet, I guess.
Yeah, this could have been a story about him living in a storage unit for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then being like, oh, shit, I get it now.
Yeah, because the only way you learn about money is if you use it.
And that to me is probably just another way the lottery system ultimately fucks poor people.
Yeah.
Because like if a rich person wins the lottery, they're going to be like, "Give me that annuity." That's obviously the much better deal. But
I just anyway. All right, we're moving on to our next cursed person.
Yeah.
Finger me.
Adam, you take this one.
I didn't have my gloves on. Jeffrey Dampier Jr.
Dampier.
Or maybe it's Dampier. Who knows? Dampier and his then wife won an estimated $20 million jackpot from the Illinois lottery.
In your face, Caitlin. No, I wasn't fingering you.
Face. I'm fine with him winning.
They won.
But it's Illinois lottery.
Illinois! Right? Finger me, Carrie. Again. Oh, this
there you
is
are.
Fun.
There you are.
Oh, God.
That I'm going to have to edit all that out. It was way too loud.
Well,
what
you get, assholes?
One estimated $20 million jackpot from the Illinois lottery in 1996. After they divorced, he went on to marry Crystal Jackson. The couple moved to Tampa, Florida, where he invested some of his winnings.
Wait, time out. Immediately a divorce.
Yeah.
So they were.
Well, he was probably like, "I can afford it now," which no, you couldn't. You could have afforded it before.
Right?
Can you imagine? like you're with fucking Jeffrey for however many years.
Yeah.
And then he wins the lotto. You've put in all this time with this asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves you.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Well, it's like,
but you've got money. She was probably over him too.
I don't know if that's how that works. I don't know.
If you've seen this guy, they're fine.
All right.
It's like there's that old like dad joke or whatever you want to call it about the guy who wins the lottery and he comes home and tells his wife and he's like, pack your bags, we're getting out of here. And she's like, where are we going? And he's like, doesn't matter where you go. Like, I don't know how the joke goes, but he's like, I'm fucking leaving you.
That was a good dad joke.
Yeah. But I botched it.
I think it's a dad joke.
I think all dad jokes end in a botched moment.
Yeah.
I don't think dad jokes are good. They're
probably
not supposed to be good.
Probably.
But you told it well.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was like a sad MRA Kathy comic.
Yeah.
That's what all dad jokes are.
You get me.
I get you. I love you, man.
So I love you. Jeffrey Dampier Jr. He
Junior.
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 So he goes on to marry Crystal Jackson. Maybe it's Jackson. I don't know.
I can see her belly button ring now.
Right?
They move to Tampa, Florida, where he invests some of his winnings, according to ABC Tampa affiliate WFTS-TV.
Nice.
Less air horn worthy. He was kidnapped in 2005 by his sister-in-law, Victoria Jackson, and her boyfriend. Is that the Victoria Jackson from SNL, I wonder? Probably not.
Most likely it was, actually.
Yeah, could be. She's nuts now. And her boyfriend, Nathaniel Jackson, they were arrested 3 days after Dampier was found dead in Nathaniel Jackson's van. The two were found with significant amounts of cash on them. This is a quote. In Jacksonville last night, Mr. Nathaniel Jackson was found with about $1,500 in his pocket. Where the rest of that money is, we don't know. That's Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office spokesman J.D. Calloway. Both were sentenced to life in prison for felony capital murder. This is a thing you hear about kind of regularly with lottery winners, is they win and someone murders them.
That is exactly the plot of a Tales from the Crypt episode. Like, straight up, that's a pitch. And then at the end, he's like, well, it was a deadly winning for him. And that's it.
It was perfect.
Thanks. And it's the kind of thing these people think they would never, like, everyone thinks they're too smart to fall for something like that.
Again, who plays the lottery?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like, for the most part, I would say, like,
but murder?
People, who have like white-collar jobs. Like,
that's what
you
get for leaving your wife and ending up with What's-Her-Face Jackson.
It'd be interesting to see.
You
like,
shouldn't have done that. That was shitty.
I'm just saying, I smelled it from the beginning.
No, I don't think that's the bad part. It would be interesting to see how many of these people are like, oh, I had a job as an engineer, and then I won the lottery, and I was just like, fuck you. And then it was bitches and hoes and such. Like, it would be interesting to see, like, who wins the lottery that's a little bit more like medium to upper class. I don't think those people play the lottery.
I think when you haven't worked for money and you have that much money out of nowhere, you're going to become the worst version of yourself.
So is lottery the one that's preying on people?
I mean, from like, I guess a spiritual standpoint, that's what we're saying. I mean, the state makes so much money off the lotto anyway that, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know. You want me to read this next one?
Go for it.
Mac Metcalf and Virginia Merida, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
A couple who won a $34 million jackpot in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Weird. In 2000, ended up living separate lives in separate mansions before their deaths.
Yeah, that's kind of dope.
This is like an 80s movie, and I like it. Mac Metcalf had an estranged wife, Virginia Merida, split the jackpot but divorced in 2001. The Sun Sentinel reported that he bought a Mount Vernon-type mansion in Kentucky and she bought one near the Ohio River. He bought horses and she bought some stray cats, the paper reported also. He died of complications from alcoholism in 2003 at age 45, the paper...
3 years later.
3 years later. Later, that same year, Marita's partially decomposed body was found by her bed. There was no sign of foul play, officials said. Well, she was a crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
The cats ate her.
Yeah,
ate
those
her
cats definitely
this
ate
one I kind of like. It's like two people looked at each other and they're like, all right, look.
Yeah, we did it. We can go.
But we're done.
Yeah,
right?
We don't need each other anymore.
No, but a good 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get that divorce makes more sense than what's-his-face leaving for stripper Jackson.
You're upset about that. It doesn't bother me. I think their marriage was already done.
I just think that he ended up with a hoe. And yeah. Well, that's what he deserved.
The hoe's daughter murdered him.
In this circumstance, these are clearly two nerds that just got married because they couldn't find anyone better. And then they were done. They won the lotto and looked at each other, had an amicable divorce, clearly split it right down the middle. He bought a Mount Vernon-type mansion, so he's a total nerd.
Yeah, it feels like this was just them.
This feels cursy.
Like, this guy, if this didn't happen, one of them was going to kill the other for insurance money someday.
Or they just looked at each other and they're like, the only way we're going to financially survive is if we stay together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of marriages like that are like, look, I mean, you're basically a sibling at this point. I don't find you attractive, but if we get a divorce, we're both fucked because, I mean, like, if my husband left me tomorrow, I'd be so screwed financially, and he would too. We're 50-50.
Right.
We have a good life because we combine our incomes.
Yeah.
And that's most marriages, you know. But anyway, I thought that one is interesting. Abraham Shakespeare.
Do you want me to go through Abraham Shakespeare?
I just wanted to say it because I like
Abraham Shakespeare. What state is he from?
Probably Oregon.
Nope.
I'm just guessing.
Florida.
And I think I'm familiar with this one.
Yes, and I hope you play the YouTube clip that I asserted.
Well, you have the keyboard, Carrie.
Oh, yep.
Oh, there goes the power struggle. Now.
But go ahead and read it first.
Abraham Shakespeare. He went from being a janitor
producer
to a multimillionaire, but was found dead 3 years after his win. Shakespeare was 47 when he won a $17 million jackpot in Florida in 2006 and proceeded to spend or give away much of his money in the next 2 years. This is a quote. I would really like my old life back when I could walk the streets like a normal person without people coming up asking for money. He was then befriended by a woman named Doris Dede Moore, whom authorities allege kidnapped him and later killed him after swindling him out of his remaining money. After the ensuing investigation, police said he was shot twice in the chest sometime in April 2009.
What in the chest?
Shot in the chest. Shot in the chest.
If you want somebody's winning, say a shot in the chest.
Good job, guys. Really good.
That was really great.
Yeah.
Rehearsing finally paid off.
That happened in April 2009, but he wasn't reported missing until November of that year. His body was found under a 5-foot slab of concrete the following January. From the very beginning, our investigation, which started 7 months after he went missing, we found out she still had Abraham Shakespeare's cell phone and was texting his friends as well as her own cell phone, pretending to be Abraham. That's Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd on Good Morning America, February 4th, 2010. I probably nailed that accent.
No, you did.
Uncanny.
I think I got that.
That was real good.
And Moore was convicted of murdering Shakespeare and is serving a life sentence. This bitch, am I right?
Oh, man.
Also, Shakespeare's death has been cited by financial advisors as a reason lottery winners should be allowed to remain anonymous.
And I think that might be a thing now. You can, like, set up a trust and stay anonymous.
Oh, how do we
What in
up?
God's name is happening?
This is Dede Moore. This is the person who killed him, who's saying she's innocent. Oh.
So this is Dede Moore.
A house interview from a woman doing life behind bars for first robbing and then killing a big lottery winner. His body was found buried. Prosecutors say the woman you see there went to great lengths to cover it all up, but she claims that she's innocent and told ABC's Matt Gutman.
Dee Dee Moore may have been convicted of murdering Florida Lotto winner Abraham Shakespeare, but in an exclusive jailhouse interview, it seems to her like it's a laughing matter.
Did you bury him in your backyard?
Absolutely not.
Why are you laughing?
Because...
A man is dead. He's been murdered,
yes,
clearly.
Yes.
And you're laughing.
Yep. Because I find it entertaining that people are that ignorant.
Moore befriended Shakespeare, despite his illustrious name, was illiterate shortly after he won $30 million.
He was illiterate?
Lotto.
Yeah.
With that
Moore
name?
Said she'd help him manage your cash. Even
come on,
his life,
dude.
As she did in this video.
So where do you want to go to?
It don't matter to me. I'm not a picky person.
California.
But prosecutors said Moore tricked Shakespeare, effectively taking the rest of his money before taking his life, and then dumping his body in this hole in her backyard.
God knows I'm innocent. That is one person that knows I'm innocent.
Person?
But one thing did her in. Her
what
map.
If God
Greg Smith, the friend of Shakespeare's,
one
agreed
one
to help Moore cover up her tracks. Instead, he was recording their conversations for police.
Whoops.
I didn't set a plan out to go catch up. I just told him I'd see what I could do.
Now, straight out of the wire, that guy.
Yeah, cars, yeah.
Moore quickly moves from temper.
Cool.
It could have been any gun.
To tears.
I liked Mickey Mouse.
And she says she's
what?
Innocent.
Fuck you.
Despite having
she's
led
nuts.
Police to Shakespeare's body.
I think people are complete idiots that think I had anything to do with it.
She claims that there are
how
witnesses
did she lead
who support
police
her
to the
version
body?
That a mysterious drug dealer killed Shakespeare.
This is stuff that's not in my discovery. These are witness statements. You understand
these
that?
Witnesses don't exist, and that certainly looks like your handwriting. That looks like your handwriting. What you said were witnesses' notes looks like your handwriting.
As she exited stage left, she threw out a name.
Her first name is Deanna. I'll give you that.
Deanna.
We asked police about Deanna. They said, like much of Dee Dee Moore's story, it's pure fiction. For Good Morning America, Matt.
Isn't that crazy?
ABC News.
I just want to. I want people to get an idea of what this woman looks like. So if you've seen The Conjuring, there's that part where the mom is
Dee Dee
turning
is basically a Dawn.
She's turning into the demon, but she's not quite the demon yet. That's exactly what this woman looks like.
Yeah, yeah. She's
bad got
times.
Like a devil face or something. Like seriously, like a really weird.
She just looks like a
face.
Bad person.
She does look like a bad.
Some
person.
People in the face just look like bad
some people.
People
in the face.
Some people. Well, because then they are.
That's where
got
you
him
look.
In the face. Got him in the face. You want. Well, to kill somebody and look like it. You kill somebody
in the face.
Face.
Yeah. Woo!
Man.
All right, we've got a few more.
I'm not like, pronouncing this more. Name, Carrie, so you go for it. You read this one.
And somebody works at the Sev. Yuraj Khan.
Great. You read this one.
Poison with cyanide. The 46-year-old Chicagoan dropped dead the day after he won $1 million in 2012. An autopsy revealed that Khan died of cyanide poisoning. Both his sister-in-law and her father were suspected to be involved in his death, but no one was ever charged. Khan's winnings and properties were divided between his daughter and his widow. The couple was charged in his murder and are each serving a life sentence in prison. Greedy bitches. One day later. One day!
That's just not even very well thought out.
No, it's not.
It's also like a really nerdy, dorky way to kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to wear your pink glasses while you read the next one? Or are you good?
Is it going to hurt your chakras?
No. Well, I like how those glasses look. Mm-hmm. It's
well,
just a coincidence.
It kind of goes with the next story.
That they're fine. Let's talk about Michael Carroll. He blew it all on cocaine and hookers.
What?
Right? That's how you do it.
That makes the most sense. Then.
Yeah, it does. He was 26. He won $15 million U.S. dollars.
Yeah, you're going to blow it on cocaine and hookers at 26.
In
for
a
sure, for sure.
British jackpot back in 2002. He was soon left with nothing after dishing out cash on parties, cocaine, hookers, and cars. He was nicknamed the Lotto Lout and also reportedly spent his former fortune on a villa in Spain, quad bikes, demolition derby cars, and flashy jewelry. Carroll was jailed in 2006 following an altercation and was later convicted of drug possession. All these people are real fuck-ups, man.
Right? I think we just have two more.
I also just want to state that if you fuck up in England, they're way meaner to you than they are here.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the Brits, like stupidity is like, that's the biggest, sin you can commit in the UK.
Yeah.
In America, it's pretty much expected everybody is stupid. But over there, it's like, you're British. Have a little fucking pride, asshole.
Yeah. You can have bad teeth. You can fuck pigs.
Yeah, you can fuck pigs.
But we cannot do.
Cannot be publicly stupid.
Right.
No.
No. All right. William Bud Post III, betrayed by his own mother.
Brother.
This is really hard for me to read, to be honest with you. I can't see it.
Just 2 weeks after winning $16.2 million in the Pennsylvania lottery, Post had blown through $300,000, $300K, on a car lot, restaurant, and even an airplane, which I feel like that doesn't make sense. Like, that's a little amount of money for that much stuff.
Well, I think he got a restaurant. A small airplane.
What about the restaurant? Even an airplane? Okay, although he couldn't fly. He was $1 million in debt 1 year after winning. Not only was he broke and forced to declare bankruptcy, but his own brother was arrested for hiring a man to kill him. That's a bad day.
That is a really bad day.
I wish it never happened. It was a total nightmare. He once said of winning the lottery, Post was later jailed for firing a gun over the head of a bill collector. He was on food stamps before dying at age 69. What? Just kidding. 66. I know.
Finger me though.
Yeah.
We did it.
Can we 69 finger?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not.
How do we do that?
I'm not going to look at that.
Oh.
I don't know. Okay. It was like a weird pinky promise.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, I mean, if you think about the.
Yeah.
Jack Whitaker, you wouldn't. Okay.
That is a promise.
Okay. So you do Jack.
Am I right, ladies?
Yeah.
they got me so good.
Wait, what do you say? I was worried about who's going to talk next.
Adam and I just had a really funny moment because I was like really trying to not pay attention to your weird pinky 69 thing. But then you were like, it's like a pinky promise. And then my dumb brain was like, when you 69 a person, it is kind of like a promise. But all that came out was like, well, you know. And then Adam totally knew what I was going to say. And he's like, it is kind of like a promise. I'm like, God damn it.
It is.
Ugh. Gross.
You guys are on a different level than me always. Like, how am I always left out?
Marsha!
God damn it, I'm always Jan. All right, Jack Whitaker, you got this, Adam?
Jack Whitaker. A series of unfortunate events.
Limney Snickets!
Jack Whitaker of West Virginia!
Represent!
Was already worth around $17 million when he won a $300,000.
That's a son of a bitch. That's somebody who doesn't normally play the lottery,
by the way. Fuck this guy. He won a $315 million multi-state Powerball jackpot in 2002.
I'm not rooting for this guy going forward.
Well, Whitaker used most of his winnings for good, like building churches and donating 10% to Christian charities.
10% is a corporate, he has to donate that much, so fuck him anyway.
He also launched the Jack Whitaker Foundation to provide clothes and food to low-income families before his life began to fall apart. Whitaker was arrested for drunk driving and threatening a bartender after hitting it big. A woman also sued him for groping her at a racetrack.
Yeah.
On two separate occasions, thieves robbed him, once outside of a strip club for $500,000 and another for $200,000.
Yep.
What are you carrying on you? Like gold bullion? 500
grand? That's nuts.
Does he have like a wagon that he puts the money on? Like maybe. On it's like the bills are like fluttering off while he walks around.
That's insane. He and his wife divorced after he became an alcoholic.
West Virginia. Like, you don't need a lot of money there.
Seriously, exactly. You only need like $12 in West Virginia.
If he had $50,000.
Yeah.
If he had $50,000, I'd be like, why do you have $50,000 on you in West Virginia?
$1,000.
Were you buying a house with cash?
Yeah.
Two houses.
I mean, there was a moment of hesitation. I was like, Adam, pay attention to what you're saying.
He and his wife divorced after he became an alcoholic. After supplying his 17-year-old granddaughter with a weekly allowance of $2,100.
Weird number.
Very weird. She died of a drug overdose, as did her boyfriend. And Whitaker's daughter later died of unknown causes.
Jesus.
Both Whitaker and his wife said they wished he had torn the ticket up.
It's like that monkey hand story.
Yeah. That is bad times.
Oh, we have two left. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take Evelyn Adams.
I can't read either.
I mean,
we don't. We could just do like the most interesting one next because we're like over an hour. We don't have to read them all.
Well, I mean, there's two left. They're very short.
All right, okay. Go for it.
Evelyn Adams, she won twice in New Jersey, but lost it all. She won the lottery back-to-back in 1985 and 1986. It's the same as being struck by lightning. She's a fucking cunty bitch.
Yep.
But Evelyn Adams was too cocky with her luck and headed to Atlantic City, where she gambled her winnings away. After losing it all, Adams started a new life in a trailer park.
That is not how Stella got her groove back.
No. No.
It's not how Evelyn Adams got her groove back at all.
How do you gamble? Like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gambling addiction, like, is the most stressful addiction.
I wonder if she gambled it all away at once.
I think she probably could. I mean, honestly, like, I don't like gambling movies because I get too stressed out watching them.
Get a few bad hands, like, call it a day.
There was a gambling movie that came out a couple of years ago with Ryan Reynolds in it called Mississippi Mud or something like that.
Hmm.
It was just depressing because it's about two people addicted to gambling, and I know it was supposed to be like two guys on the road, but I was like, no, this is
it's right, dark.
Last one.
Take us home, Adam.
Billy Bob Harrell Jr. shot himself in the head.
Oh, man.
It happened.
In less than 2 years, Bob Harrell lost all of his $31 million winnings. He donated his money to those in need and lended some of his cash to those close to him, but his generosity proved to work against him. Being broke led to a split from his wife, and the Texas man was found dead in his home with a gunshot wound to his head. Before committing suicide, he said, winning the lottery is the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I mean, I guess if you're just prone to bullshit, a bunch of money is just going to invite it. But I mean, hey, more money, more problems.
Exactly. More problems. I've got 99 problems.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff May is all of them.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the old adage
goes. Yeah.
Since the beginning of America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It checks out.
All this said, I still hope I win the lottery someday.
Oh, I know, me too.
Wouldn't it be so great?
I just played the Powerball. I did.
These are all the stories we tell ourselves.
I played the Powerball last week, too.
This is the joke. There are plenty of people that have won the lottery that are fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
It's not ever. I mean, most of them are fine.
And I played the lottery because I messaged Carrie to see if she could get me eclipse glasses, and she failed me on that.
Well, no, the system failed you. I didn't fail you. Okay. If I had them, I would have gotten you them.
Okay, we can argue about it on another episode.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree.
But she was like, but you should play the Powerball today. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should. And I didn't win. So
it's kind of
like you failed me twice.
But what if you would have won? Like, you're also welcome. Like, you don't
I would have messaged you and been like, hey, I won.
But what if you would have gotten
your
solar eclipse glasses?
That's how you finish
them. You wear them once, and then you throw them away. It's like a one and done. It's the same thing.
That's true.
I enjoy gambling, but I never. I mean, look, that like latent hope of maybe I'll whatever. You know, you never finish the sentence. But when you really pull the lens back, you feel pretty silly doing it.
Yeah, it's not. It's not great. I've always, I don't like casinos. I don't like when I walk in a casino. I just like,
it makes you feel like you need a shower.
It really does. Feel the depression and the bad decisions
in
the
really
air.
I really enjoy doing video poker and having a glass of
right at the bar
and smoking a cigarette. That's like one of my favorite things to do.
Mine too.
Yeah. See, that's what I do.
I like old lady Vegas.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't need the other stuff.
I'll take a penny slot any day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'll do slots or I'll do like video blackjack.
So I'm like, yes.
Exactly.
I've got $20. I'll
stay
here for hours.
Double bonus poker.
Yeah.
Like, because
at that point, it's not that much different from like going to the movies in terms of the money you spend.
Right.
But you might also win a bunch of money. So then
you could get a free drink.
I also never understand what's happening with slot machines ever.
No.
Yeah.
I never understand what's going on. Those people that just sit there at slot machines, I'm like, I'm too embarrassed to ask. I just don't understand how it works.
I kind of get them. I think roulette is the most, for me, excruciating. Because I remember being, like, super poor and being like, I have $100. Like,
oh, it goes so fast.
Yes. Literally within seconds,
it
was like, and I think it was like a $12 or $15 minimum hand. And like within a minute, it was like it was all gone. But and I was like a poor just after like my first job out of college. So you don't have money.
I've done that. But I think though that this is ultimately the root of the lotto appeal. Because in Vegas, to win money, you have to spend a lot of money. You don't need to do that with the lotto. You buy your ticket and you walk out of that gas station and you've bought your lotto ticket and that's it.
It's like when people are like, oh, you have as good odds as winning the lottery. It's like, well, sometimes people win the lottery.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why people play.
I just think people are jealous.
They're hating.
They Although gels. These stories were depressing.
Yeah, they're all very depressing. Good job researching this, Carrie.
Good job, Carrie.
Good job.
Was this better or worse than the Richard Simmons notes?
I wasn't here for that.
It's all great.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the right answer.
Yeah, it's all deadly.
If you would have crushed me on the Richard Simmons notes, I think I would never come back again.
But you're going to come back.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Because he didn't.
It's like the same like Joaquino. Like I'm not going to come back. You tell me to come back?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come back. Yeah, sure, I'm pretty easy to bring back in.
So what do we have to plug before we get out of here? We got a stand-up show in Glendale September 20th probably is the next one.
Awesome.
At the Alex Theater.
I will be exactly a week away from my maternity leave on that day, guys.
And then come to our October show, Caitlin's baby doing stand-up for the first time.
Baby's first show.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would be like to do stand-up holding a baby.
Baby Bjorn? Do it.
I might do it.
That would be really funny.
Would be great, actually.
If you just came up with a baby strapped.
I'll do the whole set like this. But you should walk up and be like, will you hold my purse and then hand your purse off and then keep your baby strapped in?
No, I'll hold my wine and my baby. It'll be great. Yeah, anyway.
I love that.
In October. I'm pretty sure my vagina will still be healing at that point.
So floppy.
I hope it doesn't get floppy.
Get floppy.
But everyone come to our Alex Theater show.
Yeah, but go to that.
It's every 2 weeks, first and third Wednesday of every month.
It's a great show.
It's so much fun.
Pretty.
I'm excited.
It's beautiful.
All right.
What else do we got to plug?
I got nothing. We got a podcast called White Wine True Crime, though.
What?
Yeah, it's a really awesome show. And we, in October, will be covering The Keepers. This will be our big series that we'll be releasing as I'm convalescing with my new child. We have a bunch of really fun guests coming up. And Carrie and I truthfully hate doing these long form covers, but that's what makes it funny for everybody else because it gets exhausting.
Yeah. Yay.
But the jokes build and the raps will be written. So it's going to be amazing.
That's a great closure.
That was very fun. All right. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's go.
It's time.
Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye, boo.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Oh, my God.